Tune in to Radio Stormer on thedailystormer.com.
TWO Radio at Radio Stormer on thedailystormer.com.
Welcome to Truth Will Out Radio. Today's date is the 23rd of October 2015. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, on the Radio Stormer Network at thedailystormer.com. You can find all of our Radio Stormer productions in the sidebar. There's a link there underneath a picture of an eagle. There you will also find a link to our live stream and a link to our chat room, and you can subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or play our live stream through your iPlayer. So do make use of that. Okay, as usual, today I have with me Mr. Dennis Wise, the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. And how are you doing today on this fine autumnal day, Dennis?
Well, it was all right till I heard Netanyahu saying that, you know, Hitler didn't really want to, you know, kill the Jews. It was put up to it by the Palestinians, which is another load of lies again, you know.
It's really bizarre, that, isn't it? Really,
it's
bizarre.
It's a weird one, that one.
I'm exonerating Hitler. Yeah, well, that's exactly. It seems to be. That's what it seems to be. And Angela Merkel has got really annoyed about it and said, no, we've been taught that the Nazis did this. It's interesting
the Germans have to suffer.
Yeah, it's interesting the way she said the Nazis did this, as if they are some, you know, they were something different to the Germans.
States, yeah,
you know, they didn't commit the Holocaust. They didn't gas, you know, loads of Jews. All they did was put them in labor camps and put them to work, which was something well, it was. If you read what they said in the Middle Ages, they said, yeah, well, you know, how can we be expected to work on farms or do anything, you know, do manual work? All we can do is usury. This is why you must legalise usury, because we're incapable of doing anything else. You can look at their letter. Sorry?
Let the Romans build the roads and we'll just make them pay for it.
Yeah. You can look and see the letter that they gave to Oliver Cromwell, saying this, that's all they're capable of doing is usury. And they did try to put them to work in the Middle Ages. They set up a working place in Britain for them, and it ended up with only being like about a dozen Jews there in the end, and then they all left, and it was found to be impossible. You just couldn't get them to work. And of course, in the Bible, Cain is cursed, that nothing will grow for him. So I tend to think that, you know, this is one of the reasons why, is that they are cursed. You know, they can't grow anything, they can't do anything, and that leads me to believe that they come from Cain, which again
is... As long as people don't say to me, as Netanyahu, watch the documentary, that's all, because I couldn't handle that.
Well, he's not saying anything that comes in the documentary, is he? Are you blaming the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem for giving this idea to Hitler? I mean, as Andre says on the site, you know, you can just imagine it, can't you? Goebbels says to Hitler, right, what are your orders, sir? Well, I just have to go and ask the Arabs.
Ask them off to.
It is bizarre, isn't it? I hear you've been doing some more research into communism by the back door and into the white genocide and the history of it. Do you want to let the listeners know where it's taking you this week?
Yeah, well, as we've said the last couple of weeks, like I've been working behind the scenes on it. I didn't just want to do a white genocide. Hang on, I've got a phone going here somewhere. Let me help myself. I just didn't want to do a white genocide thing. That's it. I just wanted to go a little bit deeper, which I did do. And eventually, to my surprise, it took me all the way back to Babylon. Because apparently in Babylon, all this has happened before, when the white race, the original white race down in Babylon, was wiped out. And to cut a long story short, this brings me to the point where I believe that these people who survived Babylon all those years ago, the elites, all the bloodlines, And the Jews what went to Babylon and learned all about the Talmud are the people today who were behind the New World Order and the white genocide taking place. And the more I looked, the more I saw things coming into place, such as, for instance, you know, the European building was identical to the Tower of Babel. And, you know, they got the Statue of Liberty, which is probably the tallest man-made goddess statue in the world. All these things linked up all the way back to Babylon, which was extremely interesting, to say the least. And then I looked, of course, at places like Hollywood, which is well known for the, you know, they've got the Gates of Ishtar there down in Hollywood, and you know, the films that they make. Columbia's actually got a picture of Isis as the or Ishtar as the goddess, similar to the Statue of Liberty. And the films that they brought out, one of the first movies they brought out was Sidney Poitier, you know, making the suggestion of race mixing. And then you're going to the 70s with the films like Mandingo with Susan George and Ken Norton, the boxer, and several other films which push that side of it. And then that then takes me to the, you know, television today and how Big Brother openly has, you know, race, you know, girls, white girls kissing different coloured lads on TV. And then you go to the soaps like Coronation Street, which several years ago had person called Haley, who was a man, who then was turned into a woman and with an operation and married another man. And today we've got full of homosexuality, all diverse families on Coronation Street. Hollyoaks is a floating homosexuality program in my eyes. So all this ties up to why we're getting all this pushed down, is especially on X Factor when we've got a singer in a skirt and 7-inch, you know, stiletto heels. All goes back to Babylon.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can find there's evidence for this in the Bible as well. You know, it tells you why God confounded the tongues at Babylon. It says that they all got together there and they wanted to make a name for themselves. And in the previous chapter, it gives you all the names of the different nations that were descended from Noah. So you've got all the, and you can trace them back to being all white nations. So you've got all these nations that all have their names given to them. And then in Babylon, you've got them all living together saying, well, we want to make a name for ourselves. And then God says, well, you know, let us go down there and confound their tongues, because otherwise nothing will be held back from them. They'll go straight back to behaving as they were in the days of, well, it says in the New Testament, in the days of Noah, the last days will be as the time of Noah. Because before Noah, the earth was just was filled with wickedness and evil. And it says the reason for that was because the sons of God mated with the daughters of man. So you've got a race mixing event before the flood, and the Apocrypha tells you that these angels came down and they were breeding different kinds of animals with man. This comes from the Apocrypha, but whereas the bit in Genesis says that the sons of God mated with the daughters of man. So you've got this flood that happens, gets rid of all that, starts again, and straight away you've got Nimrod, who's descended from Ham, who builds this multicultural empire in Babel and starts breeding with the aborigines. And the Apocrypha tells you that there were aborigines there, and that's what they were using to build Babel. And the Bible itself tells you that Asher went out from Babylon, from Babel. Asher went out from there, and Asher was descended from Shem. So it's telling you that all those different nations, the separate nations or the separate races, were all living together in that area, because Asher left from there, and of course you get Assyria from Asher. And if you look at the there are some really good pictures taken from reliefs from Assyria on one of the recent articles at the Daily Stormer to do with ISIS smashing up, I think, Palmyra or one of the other early cities. But in the comments section there, someone has posted some pictures of these bas reliefs, and it's really, really clear that these were Aryan people. These kings, these Assyrian kings, were Aryans, and later on they turned into Arabs, and that's when you get the Arab-like features appearing in the bas reliefs. And interestingly enough, most of those bas reliefs also have animal-like bodies, which is symbolising that it's man breeding with what they called back then beasts.
Well, that's right, because, like I said, it was plainly obvious to me that Babylon being all white, apparently what happened is that they had other races coming into Babylon to help do things which the Babylonians felt they needed doing, but they weren't allowed to stay. But over time, eventually they did stay in Babylon, and eventually race mixed, just as is going on today, to the point where eventually the white race in Babylon was wiped out. But like it says in the feature what I'm doing in my documentary at the moment, it says like these things just don't happen by accident. You just can't wipe the Chinese out by accident. There has to be a plan. And of course there is a plan, because then we go back to our famous Richard von, let me get this right, Coudenhove Kalergi. How's that sound?
That's pretty good. Coudenhove Kalergi.
Well, that's our friend back in the 1925, when he writes his book about how he says that all Europeans should go back to looking like the Egyptians, all of mixed race, or, mixed colour. So there is a plan, and although he's not documented as such, there is I haven't found him in any kind of documents, but so obviously his plan is well adhered. I mean, he has a prize every 2 years is given in his name, and guess who's won that prize?
Angela Merkel.
There you go.
Angela Merkel, and no doubt she's going to win it again next year for services to destroying the German genome.
Well, I heard Merkel talking on YouTube, did a little bit of digging on her, and at one point she was actually admitting that multiculturalism wasn't working. What she actually meant was, that each factor in Germany, their own separate factors, it weren't working because you were getting rivalries. So this is when she's coming, we must integrate, we must all learn German and all sleep in the same bed, more or less. So, this is, and the same, in France, where, that's laws have been brought out to force interbreeding. So it's end of the day, I just look at things and say 1 + 1 = 2, 2 = 4. We're all going back to Babylon.
Well, yeah, it seems to me there's been a corrupted breed right from the start, way back at the beginning of recorded history. There's been a corrupted breed that has sought to corrupt the rest of creation. And you can look, you can. Well, but before Christianity, Christianity has continued from the start. It was just given the name Christianity when Christ came. It was just a continuation. Mm. But the traditional view is that Christianity started 2,000 years ago. But if you look back at
anti-God, everything anti-God.
Yeah, it's all anti-God. If you look back at this chapter 10 in Genesis, where it lists these nations, they were all originally white. You've got Mizraim, which was Egypt, which eventually turned brown. You've got Cush, who this Nimrod was descended from, who built Babylon, who was white. And Cush became the black Ethiopians that we see today. There's even a reference in later on in the Old Testament to the Ethiopians turning black, and it's impossible for them to turn back white again once that has happened. And this Nimrod that set up this Babylon, he was, according to the Apocrypha, he was the first one to put a crown on his head. He crowned himself. And there are also bits to do with him sleeping with his mother, Semiramis, who was the goddess. And the Apocrypha says he instituted all this idol worship, and he ruled with an iron fist. You've got the bits that you've been researching, which is saying that they allowed the brown races in, and then the liberalism came over them, and they made them into citizens, and they bred with them, and that's how you ended up with the brown races that are over there today. And this is what they're trying to force on Europe. Oh, yeah, and the decadence. You look at Sodom and Gomorrah, and that was destroyed. It was destroyed for fornication. And fornication meant unlawful sex. So that meant sex between the races and sex between the genders. And as it says, or as the folklore says, Nimrod was having sex with his mother, and that was this Semiramis. And then you've got the idea of these idols. You know, they were having consorts that were their mothers or their sisters, if you look back into it, especially the Egyptian gods. So it all sort of, it gets more and more and more corrupted along the way. It starts out with a belief in one God with different names for his different attributes, and then those attributes get corrupted and turned into idols and separate gods, and then they give them wives to them, and then people start worshipping the goddess, and that leads to feminism. You know, if you're worshipping a goddess instead of God, you're saying that the female is more important than the male, which is feminism.
Yeah.
I can't understand people that say that they're pro-white, but they support the goddesses or goddess worship. Yeah. That's the opposite of it. That's what does lead directly to feminism, and it leads to prostitution. They had this prostitution in the temples where people would have to go and prostitute themselves. It wasn't until Christianity came along that women were actually treated with respect, and they were looked after by their husband.
And may I say, Adolf Hitler.
And Adolf Hitler as well. I mean, he had respect for women and the role that women played, the important role of... I mean, there is no more important role than producing the continuation of the race and bringing up the children to be decent, hardworking healthy members of the nation. What they promote today is women going out to work and farming the children out to babysitters that they don't know. And of course, then they give them to the cheapest ones, they give them to the Negro ones, and then the Negroes attack the white children, as we see happening again and again in the Daily Stormer. But it does all go back to Babylon, as you say, Dennis, and the Freemasons claim that they go back to Babylon. You know, there's this bit in that Genesis that it says brick for stone and slime for mortar. And this is all a part of the esoteric side to Freemasonry, is this building. Because it wasn't just building a tower, it was building a state, a separate state, as in an anti-God state, basically, trying to destroy creation.
They've always found a home somewhere, like they did in Berlin. Hitler had to clear them out. I think it was Paris before that was known as the Babylon. And then, of course, I'm convinced, in fact, that if I took a stroll around Hollywood today, it would be a little different from strolling around Babylon way back then. Because everything about Hollywood and about Berlin back in the 20s is exactly what Babylon was all about. So there's some people on this planet, and they're in positions of power, politicians, and of the Jewish side as well, I'm convinced want to take us back to that society. I can't come to any other conclusion.
Well, it is a phrase that's used throughout the Bible to refer to decadence, immorality, perversion. And along with all of that, with the state controlling everything, because the Babylon state controlled everything, the people couldn't leave. Yeah, communism, Bolshevism, I mean, that goes back to Cain, who was jealous of his brother, and he's jealous of his brother's good standing, so he murdered him, which is basically what the Bolsheviks did. They were jealous of the people. They were jealous of the people that had more than them, so they murdered them all.
Well, it's funny because somebody left a comment in one of my videos and they said something like, don't you realise that communism didn't mind religion? And the simple answer to that was, well, that's probably why the Bolsheviks and the Chinese and the African Congress all meet on Sunday to go to church for prayers then.
Well, they destroyed churches. There's There was a letter that they did have at the in the Latvian Museum of the Occupation, which was a letter that was left there by one of the commissars as they were leaving, and it was saying, "Destroy all the churches before we go, but leave the synagogue standing." And they had to remove this letter because someone from Israel said that this was anti-Semitic. But it was a piece of history that they had there that was, you know, proving this, that this is what they said: destroy all the churches, but leave the synagogues standing. Hitler built churches. The communists destroyed them.
Being the righteous man Hitler was, it didn't destroy the synagogues anyway. There was still Jews practicing in Berlin when Hitler was in the bunker. You know, this is an honourable man. I've always said it. And when it comes to Berlin being decadent, against all the odds, he cleared it out. So, you know, where Netanyahu's going down these days, I don't know.
Well, it's just really bizarre of him to say that. I just think that he's just trying to drum up support for attacking the Palestinians.
Palestine. Exactly. It also makes me wonder why we invaded Iraq, because, you know, a lot of things down there, you know, from the Babylonian days were plundered from the Baghdad Museum and taken back to the United States. All that ties in with all this.
Well, I'm sure they wanted to hide a lot of the stuff that was there, because with the advent of the internet, people can read these translations of these ancient texts and find out that there's a different version to history to what we've been told, and that these nations didn't always look the way that they do now. And I think that becomes clear from reading these texts when they're talking about white people that today look brown, basically. And there's only one way that can happen, and that's through miscegenation. And miscegenation brought on through various factors, it's being brought on today through invasion and immigration. So it does make you think, you know, whether at the back of these people's minds, these Jews that have been starting all these wars and encouraging all these wars, whether they've also been thinking, and as a side bonus to this, the refugees will then invade Europe, and we'll get to wipe out the white race who we've been trying to wipe out since the beginning.
Exactly. I can't come to any other conclusion.
And again, it's like a Bolshevik mindset. It's like, well, you've got this race, you've got this pure white race. Well, we hate them because they're pure, and we can't ever go back to being pure. So we're going to make them all impure like us. So it's a similar thing to Bolshevism, but biological.
It is as though they are from a different planet. They're completely different to how we think and act. And I don't think, you know, because they're the power they are today, they don't like it, so they're going to try the best to get rid of it.
Well, I think a race's religion or a nation's religion is a good way of expressing what's in that within that racial soul. And if you look at Islam, it's this conquer everything, and everybody has to believe in this. It's very totalitarian, or not, and anybody who's not a Muslim is scum, is the infidel, can be murdered or raped. You look at the Jewish Talmud, what does it say in that? Well, it says that you can lie, cheat, steal, rape, do whatever you can, and various ways to deceive the goyim so that the Jews can take over the society. And then you look at Christianity, and Christianity says, well, people have got to have free will. They've got to have free will to make up their own minds of whether they want to follow this or not. And it's talking about love for your neighbor, which has been warped now, but it did mean love for your nation and being prepared to die for your nation. This is why they had preachers and pastors on the battlefield with the army, because Christianity wasn't opposed to having a national army defending itself. And this goes back, and again, this toleration for other faiths, and people must have free will to decide for themselves. That's why Hitler didn't destroy the synagogues.
Why you'll see the priests and the pastors on the battlefields with the Germans.
Yeah, but if you...
Supposedly not Christian organisation called National Socialism.
National Socialism. So 99% of Germany were Christian at the time.
Exactly.
It couldn't have been anti-Christian without being opposed to the beliefs and interests and faith of 99% of the nation. But if you look,
they never voted in.
Yeah,
and they didn't get voted in, didn't they? So
they did what they said they were going to do. But if you look at communism, after the fall of communism, they rebuilt that huge cathedral. There was a cathedral that got destroyed by the communists, and as soon as the Soviet Union had dissolved, the people themselves got together and donated the money and the charities together to build this, to rebuild this huge great cathedral in the middle of Moscow. This is the one that that Pussy Riot went in and tried to desecrate when they went in there. But this cathedral was destroyed by the communists. This is what they would do. They would either blow them up, or they would put things like cinemas in them. But as you say, they would leave the synagogues alone. In Latvia, they had one of the most intricately designed and decorated cathedrals in Europe, and the Jewish Bolsheviks went there and just blew it apart. They literally blew it apart. They have a remembrance day there for their fallen heroes that were in the SS Legion from Latvia. But they're told today that they're not allowed to celebrate this, even though the Nuremberg Tribunal absolved them of attacking any of the Allied forces. They were just defending themselves against the Bolsheviks. But they're not allowed to honour their heroes today because of this, because there's this anti-National Socialist hysteria, to be honest. You know, if people would only look into the history of it, they would see that National Socialism was really good for the people, and it wasn't seeking to take over the world.
Exactly, it was the alternative to this usury system that the rest of the world's trapped in. And the reason they didn't want National Socialism to further anymore was, you know, the reason they destroyed it. I mean, they just could not allow this. This other way of running a financial system be shown to the world, because the world would just turn on the Jew then, because of this usury trap that we're all in.
Oh, yeah, and also, it's diametrically opposed to this. I mean, what Hitler was trying to do, he wasn't having the threat of being invaded by Muslims in the Third World like we have now. What he was interested in doing was improving the racial health of his nation by getting one particular type to breed with one particular type
to be fair, he did have the threat of the Bolsheviks, and he only had 100,000 army left by the Treaty of Versailles. He always had that threat of the communist thing because of the revolution in Germany after the war, which fortunately the Germans put down. But I see your point, though, for sure. But he always had that threat of Bolshevism. He always knew one day that would come, and eventually it did, you know.
I did, and thankfully he did hold them back from invading the whole of Western Europe by getting in there first. But we see that is the opposite of what we're being taught today. We're being taught to miscegenate with these other races, whereas Hitler's way was to improve within your own race. You know, they didn't want breeds of their own white race to be mixing with other breeds of the white race, let alone mixing with Africans and Arabs and Mexicans and all these other degenerated races. All of those races are mingled.
Exactly. I mean, what is wrong with telling all races to improve themselves?
Yeah, what is wrong with that?
Everybody is, then.
And what is wrong with trying to improve the health of your nation, to improve the health of your race? Surely that's got to be a positive thing. Hitler said that man was created in the image of God. So to have something that was physically disfigured and disabled and mentally unsound, and that is a mockery of the image of God. You know, that is mocking God. That's what the program was about, of giving euthanasia to these poor, damaged, crippled up, mentally deficient people that were in pain and would have no life. It was about giving them an end to their life and sterilizing the people with genetic defects that were going to produce these poor souls. You know, that's what it was about. And yet we're told today this was so wicked that he was sterilizing these people and killing the poor disabled. But if it had been able to continue, then there wouldn't have been any more babies born with hideous disfigurements and mentally unsound.
I've got totally a bit of, because I mean, even though, you know, the Germans have been landed with that eugenics label, the Americans have been doing it anyway since World War II. It's only recently one of the states has to pay out quite a number of $1,000 compensation to some people. But simply because of the eugenics word was stuck with, kind of went with the Nazism thing, with all the propaganda, it all went underground, because even Churchill was one of the first who chaired of the eugenics meeting way back in the 20s. So it's not just a German thing, but it's been painted as a German thing. It's been painted out of context, as you've just described.
Yeah, even today, there's a bit of a, I've got a bit of a feedback there at your end, Dennis. I don't know if you've got speakers near the microphone or something.
Well, let me just turn something down. How's that?
Yeah, that's better. That's much better. Thanks. Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, even in China, they have a slight version of this eugenics by making it that only people with a certain amount of wealth can have more than one child. So that only means that the more industrious people and the more well-off people can actually afford to have more children.
Yeah, well, it's been said for a long time over here in the West anyway, certainly in Britain, like, is it, you know, I mean, to bring a child into the present world, you know, needs some thinking about it anyway, because the way all the everything's going, the, you know, the genesis of it all, you're going back to Babylon, you know, you've got to think twice, really, do you want to bring a child into this world? I sort the world out first myself.
Oh, yeah, and I think we've only got a limited amount of time. We need all hands on deck at the moment. You know, you can't be going, if you're bringing up children, then you need to be devoting your time to them. You can't really devote your time to the cause of fighting white genocide. And by the time those children have grown up and are adults and are able to do it for themselves, it'll be 20 years' time from now. And if things keep going at the rate they're going now, that half the population will have been replaced by that time.
It makes me wonder why the royal family haven't spoken out at the moment, because obviously it's well known fact now that London, you know, is not an English city anymore. And the fact that they haven't really said anything brings me, you know, to, I think they're all for it. It goes, again, this line back to Babylon. You know, certainly the royal family shouldn't be, you know, going into schools where they can't find a white kid, which is what I saw on the news a couple of weeks ago.
It's horrific when I see these schools that are mixed, and you have got blacks there and Arabs there, and just a few white faces mixed in among them. I mean, it must be horrific for those kids that are actually there, that are seeing all their white friends being, or what would be their white friends being replaced by these other races. I mean, the Londoners, the Cockneys have all been, 60% of them have now been replaced, and they've been there right the way back since the time that Brutus arrived on the island. The Trinovantians, you can look at this tribe, this racial breed that we had, the Trinovantians, that have been there all that time, up until just after the Second World War, when they started replacing them, importing the Third World in to replace them. They're still talking about this replacement agenda. They're quite open about it. They're saying about this in Germany, that Germany isn't producing enough children to replace the Germans, so they need to have all these refugees to make up the numbers, as it were, which is basically saying we need to replace all the white people in Germany with all the Africans that keep overbreeding. And we'll just turn Germany into Africa. You've turned the whole of Europe into Africa.
I saw a German left-wing politician like saying that we owe it to these refugees after what happened between 1939 and 1945. We owe it to these refugees. This communist German politician who had a smirk on his face at the time he was saying it. So it's an agenda, as we know, and like I said, it's not good. I don't particularly want to live in Babylon, but I think people are going to find sooner than later that we're already there.
Oh, well, we are there. The New Testament says it will be as in the days of Noah. The end times will be just like the days of Noah. And from all the research you do, looking back at that time, it was the same as today. All the immorality, homosexuality, race mixing, idol worship, all of it. And it's all being pushed by these Jews, who, as you say, you could trace the Jews back. The first time they were actually called Jews was in Babylon, which is where their Talmud comes from, the Babylonian Talmud. That's the one they pay the attention to. That's the more important one. I think the other one's the Palestinian Talmud or something. Maybe I got that wrong. But there's two of them. But the most important one is the Babylonian Talmud that they look at. And that was written down a couple of hundred years after Christ, in reaction to the Christian religion. I've still got this echo there, Dennis. I don't know if you can turn that speaker down a little bit.
Well, if I turn it down, I can hardly hear you. I'll try again a little bit.
Probably needs moving away. The microphone probably needs moving away from the speaker, and then it won't pick it up.
Let me try something. Is that any better?
I still hear myself. The microphone's picking up my voice. It's gone now. It's back. We'll just carry on with it how it is. Don't worry about it. I'll just say to people, if anybody does want to call in, anybody's listening and wants to call in, we do have a Skype channel open if people want to call in. It's radio.stormer. So if you send a contact request to radio.stormer, then we'll accept it, and then you can call in if you've got anything you want to add to the conversation, or anything you want to say to Dennis or me, or you want to ask a question or whatever. You're welcome to call in. You know that we do. This is a live program, and so it would be good if people did make use of that and call in. I'm sure people must have something that they would like to say to us.
Looked into the African side of it this week as well, you know, with the genocide down in South Africa, and how all the countries in South Africa were eventually run by communist government takeovers, you know, and funded by the United States and Britain, which was quite interesting. I'm going to add that into the documentary at some point.
Well, yeah, I'd like to hear more about what happened with communism in Africa. So I think a lot of it was to do with when they tried to improve the Africans and improve their education. They sent them to universities in London, like the London School of Economics. Yeah. And of course, in these universities were hotbeds of Marxism, and they were able to get hold of these Negroes and say, look, you know, you're being made slaves by these big white masters, and you need to go back there and riot and take over, because this is your country. And they stirred them up so that when these slightly above average intelligence Negroes went back to their countries, they then started forming this resistance against the white people that had been responsible for giving them everything. I mean, there was nothing was there until white people went there?
Well, that's right, yeah. But it seems like there's a lot of propaganda about South Africa, because I was one who fell for it all way back when, you know, when all the boycott was on, and it just seems from what I've been listening to one or two people, like, that it all was not what it seemed. And when you see places like Israel today, which are far worse than what South Africa ever was, it does make you wonder. So yeah, it's quite interesting. I'm like I said, I'm presently in the middle of investigating that side of it, because Africa is more or less a communist nation now, or a continent with communist nations. And behind all this, it seems, was the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Committee with Rockefeller, was funding a lot of all this, all these government, what took over from, you know, places where Portugal and France and England had, you know, colonies out there.
Yeah, and the idea that race was just a social construct, that came from UNESCO, from the UN, linked up with what you're saying, the Trilateral Commission and the Council for Foreign Relations, and that was formulated in Moscow in conjunction with the USSR at the time.
Well, that's right. This is all this work I'm working on at the moment is in the days of the Soviet Union. But they seem to be the ones what supplied, you know, the money for the, you know, the weapons and everything. But the actual, you know, ideology of it all behind it was being taught by the, you know, the Rockefellers and the foundations, etc., from the US, and of course, you know, the from England, the can't remember the name of the organization, the Affairs, anyway, Royal Affairs. All tied up together to, you know, the pro-communist, which of course goes back to World War II again, when, you know, we had the Masons in the West keeping the Bolsheviks afloat while Hitler was fighting them out there in the Soviet Union. So it all ties up, and it's proving to be quite fascinating, a little bit of research.
Well, it's only the name that has changed. They don't call it communism anymore, do they? They call it liberalism or progressivism. And you look at the what is supposedly the right wing Tories, and they're just exactly the same as Labour and the left. They're liberal. It's only we that are actually in the central position, as we were saying last week.
We said that last week, that if you love your country and love your nation, you know, you're the centre ground, and anything else is extreme.
When they try to destroy things and we try to preserve things, we try to preserve our race as it is, we try to preserve our nations as they are, we try to preserve our homelands as they are and as they've always been and how we want them to stay, we're just trying to preserve the what's good about our nations and about our countries. And what the enemy is trying to do is to destroy all that. And fill it up with these other races that are going to outbreed us and destroy our very DNA. I mean, once you've miscegenated, you can't go back to being white again. You're always going to have that impurity in the blood. It's always going to be adulterated, and they know that. They know that. Well, once they've done that, they've won with that branch of the family tree.
Well, they also know that once you've broken that nationalistic bond with your country, which is exactly what happens when you're flooded with migrants over the next couple of decades now, you'll find that they'll care less and less about the country. Besides the fact that, you know, without checking all the papers and everything, like, I'm pretty sure we're going to have some suicide bombing in Europe at some stage because of the way that they just allowed them all to come in, and ISIS, you know, no doubt, and other extreme Muslims will have took full advantage. But the bottom line is that it breaks that nationalistic bond with your country. And if you grow up in a country where you don't really have no attachment, then you don't really care, you know, from the point of dropping litter to causing, you know, social damage. It just, you don't care because you've no ties to that particular place. In fact, most Muslims probably have ties just to the religion or to far off Africa somewhere. There's certainly Muslims in Britain, again, I touch on this in this part of the documentary, where, you know, they just say that the Muslims are not British.
Well, yeah, Cameron has said that this is going to be the struggle of our generation is to fight against terrorism. But there would be no terrorism here if they hadn't imported these people into our countries.
This is double talk.
None of it would exist.
Yeah, well, they're trying to make Europe an Islamic state. They're trying to make Britain and America Islamic states, not because they like Islam. It's the fact that Islam and Christianity will clash. It's the cat and the dog in the cage will clash, and while the outsiders, these now I call them elite Babylonians and the Jews, might stand by and watch, and that's exactly what's happening. When London is no longer an English city, it's a problem.
Well, it's as insulting to them as it is to us, really. You know, it's insulting to us to say that anybody that's just born here, well, they're British, and they can have a passport, and they'll be exactly the same as all the white British people who have lived here for thousands of years. That's insulting to us, but it's also insulting to them to say, well, just because you're born here, you're British now. You shouldn't have any attachment to your people because you're British. You shouldn't have any attachment to the Pakistanis. You shouldn't have any attachment to the Bangladeshis. You shouldn't be going out there to fight for them or whatever. And they try to bring them back when they want to leave. Well, this is a crazy thing. They try to bring them back when they want to leave. When they show these genetic drives to go and fight for their people, we bring them back. We stop them from going.
What you're saying is quite true, because I can remember Norman Tebbit way back in the Thatcher government criticising the Pakistanis and the Indians in this country for not supporting the England cricket team, but supporting the Pakistani cricket team, because he's saying they shouldn't be, they're English and they should be supporting the English cricket team, which is never going to happen when, these Muslims are always going to side with Pakistan and the Hindus with India. So, it's a false dream. It really is a false dream, because these Muslims do not consider themselves as British.
They never will. They can't do. They haven't got their ancestors, didn't build the nation. It's not the country is not a reflection of their racial soul. It's a reflection of the British racial soul. Yeah, it's our culture, which is going to always be at odds with their culture. And to try and fight against that is going to use up all our resources. We see that now. All the resources are going into promoting diversity and promoting anti-racism. It's in everything. It's in all the soap operas. It's in every television program. It's in all the schools. The police are told that they've got to concentrate on arresting people for race crimes, speech crimes. All the resources are going into this one thing, which would be completely unnecessary if we just had a homogenous nation. If we hadn't imported these creatures from the third world, there would be no such thing as racism. They wouldn't care less what we said about them if they were in their own countries. I couldn't care less what they say about the British in another country. Who cares? Who cares?
Well, that's saying, as in Rome do as the Romans do, went out the window years ago. And the point being, is that they use certain elements of society to further their means, like they've used, the Islam and the homosexuality that they've used, with the decadence. I mean, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago again, all these gay pride parades where they're all, exhibiting themselves, to be gay. And I can remember one group actually shouting that we're teachers and we teach your children, type of thing, goading these Christians who are alongside with the placards against all this gay pride. What they don't realise is that if ever Sharia law does come into Europe, which it quite easily could do in Britain, because of the amount of Muslim births, etc., will be far exceeding the English. So eventually, you will have a dominant Muslim majority in this country with Muslim politicians, and at some stage, Sharia law, if that ever does come in, as I tried to explain, somebody was having a go at me on one of the on the YouTube comments, where the ISIS at the moment are picking the highest buildings to throw these people off, and I'm quite sure there's enough buildings in Europe not being used, the rooftops high enough for ISIS and the people like that to do the same. So it's all going to be one giant mess at some stage. But at this moment in time, people, just because they're at this moment in time are looked on favourably, are taking advantage of it, and can't see that they're being used until, you know, the time comes when they're looking down off rooftops.
Well, the thing is, they're actively helping it. They're actively doing all they can to help the takeover of our countries by these other people. And just today in the news, they're saying, well, we haven't got enough blacks in the police force. We've got four police forces that don't actually have any blacks in them. Never mind the fact that there are no blacks actually in those counties, or very few. But then they're saying, well, we've got to replace the white people, a certain amount of white people in the police force, with these blacks. And they're saying the same about the politicians. We've got to replace a certain amount of the politicians with these other races. So it's actually helping the takeover of our country, because that's all it is. It's just replacing white people with non-whites. And you're just going to end up with everything being substandard and at the level of these non-whites. And the only way you can get more blacks into the police force is to allow criminals into the police force. And they keep saying, well, we've got to have the police of people have got to be policed by the same type of people. Well, if you've got criminals, then have they got to be policed by criminals? Surely the police should be beyond reproach, and you can't get blacks in the police
anyway. Well, standard of police in this country is dropped tremendously from the days, like, you know, when you respected, you know, the police officer. I mean, there's been that many scandals and things going on in the background, and they're all tied in with the Masons as well, you know, and when they can't even bring enough of these paedophiles to justice, it's all been swept under the carpet. Respect goes for the police. And that's just one section of respect going, you know, there's others as well. I mean, my lad got beat up one Christmas time, when everybody was out on the streets, and he got beat up. His friend was arrested for trying to help him. And luckily, a complete stranger picked him up and brought him home. Otherwise, you know, God knows what would have happened to him. But the police, you know, didn't arrest anybody. They just arrested his friend. I think he kicked a taxi door where all these lads jumped in a taxi. I mean, there just is no respect anymore for the police when they can do things like that.
Well, they're losing their respect. Where it all leads to with this replacing the white people with the blacks is a society like the one they have in South Africa, the rape and murder capital of the world. That's where it all leads to. And even when the whites are in the minority, they will continue to replace them with blacks, and they'll just keep doing it, and society will just gradually crumble and fall apart until there's no civilization left. And we'll all be living among ruins, which is exactly what has happened to all these other empires, starting off with Babylon. And as you say, Dennis, that's where it all goes back to, right the way
full
back
circle.
To there.
Full circle.
And before then, we can't really tell what was going on. And you can look at the Bible and say, well, there was a race mixing event and there was a flood. But straight after that, it's all started again with this Babylon, with this multicultural empire that was encouraging every decadence and every immorality and every sin under the sun, basically. And that's exactly what we have today. And we even with the same symbol of that Babylonian tower, which is the EU building. I mean, that's
exactly. Well, it's this drive to kill Christianity as well, that since 1945 and lately has gone into overdrive. We're now, you know, there's huge portions of Europe and America where, you know, people don't go to church anymore. The Catholic Church has been, Masons have took control of that since 1945, and all the decadence and paedophilia took place there. So people, you know, look at Christianity now with less respect, and that was always intended by the victors of World War II, because this goes back to Babylon as well. You know, where they just did not want to. You know, they are their own gods, so to speak, and which is why they built the tower.
And it's whether people like it or not. You know, the white race is, you know, it can't be separated from Christianity. I mean, Christianity was a European religion. It took off in Europe. It is shaped by European minds, and it reflects the European soul. And it's become corrupted, as you say, in the last 70 years after the war, with this declaration at the Vatican that the Jews were no longer rejected by Christ, but were elder brothers in the faith. That's what it is. Yeah. that's where it really goes back to. I mean, up until then, there was the Jews had been sponsoring people to criticize the Bible and to try and say that it wasn't all true, even though they were finding proofs that proved what it was said in the Bible. In archaeology, people were still criticizing it, but it really only started about a century ago with the church being infiltrated and corrupted, which is exactly as the Jews said they were going to do. They said, we're going to infiltrate the church, we're going to take it over. And the communists said the same, we're going to infiltrate the church, we're going to take it over.
Same goal.
Yeah, and then you get these pedophile scandals happening once they have infiltrated the church, and you get the priests in the church calling for more immigration, saying homosexual marriage is okay. I mean, it's really only the Eastern Orthodox Church that is standing up against this. You see that in Eastern Europe. You see the priests of the Eastern Orthodox Church in Slovenia and Croatia, and they're saying, no, we don't want our countries turned into Muslim countries again. No, we don't want our countries invaded. We remember what multiculturalism was like last time. You know, we were the slaves of the Muslims. Yeah, and Putin. Putin knows the importance of Christianity.
Well, people have doubts about Putin, and I can understand why, because, you know, of previous events in World War II with Russia and Soviet Union. But the point of it is that he is a Christian leader. Probably one of the very few Christian leaders, you know, in the world, and especially with the power to take on the New World Order. So when he's going into Syria and actually stipulating the rules there at the moment, that is because of the power that he has built Russia back into. But instead of being the Soviet Union of communism, he now has a Russia of Christian beliefs. And that is one reason why I believe there will be a World War III with Russia, because they do want to wipe Christianity out, and Putin is a Christian. The other thing, obviously, is he's upset the scales in Syria now, where cleverly, as a chess player, he's, you know, attacking the rebels who are attacking Assad. Once he's flattened them, you know, and ISIS, what do America do then? You know, do they look to the world to say we can't bomb ISIS? Of course, they have to bomb ISIS then. And even this week, we saw Assad in Moscow, where he was secretly flown in and flown out before it was announced, simply for safety reasons. Because, you know, in my opinion, the plane that went down in the Ukraine at that time, Putin was in the air on another plane, and I just think that was just a mistake. They got the wrong plane. So, like I said, he was back in Syria, Assad, before anybody knew about it. And the Americans, obviously, are now up in arms, because this chess player, Putin, knows full well that, you know, he can beat Obama any day of the week, because Obama is just a clueless puppet.
Well, this struggle of a generation that Cameron's talking about is going to be over in a matter of weeks with Putin out there in Syria. Yeah. And just today he said, you know, what is this moderate terrorists? Rebel. There are no moderate terrorists. They are all terrorists. If they want to install an Islamic State, which all of those Muslim groups do that are over there, then they're terrorists. They're a threat to the stability of the country and the Syrian nation that have voted for Assad as their president. Yeah, just look at Libya.
Exactly. Just look at Libya, and that's where Putin put his foot down, I believe, when he said at the UN, he said, well, what gives you the right to you know, for the NATO forces to remove Gaddafi. And that was going to again happen in Syria. They were after, you know, regime change yet again, and that is where he put his foot down, and enough's enough. And he has gone against the New World Order, and as we know with them, they never forget. So somewhere down the lines, you know, it doesn't take a genius, there will be a clash. And at the moment, they're just proxy clashes, but eventually, when the New World Order is ready to go, they will go. Putin said all along he doesn't want a war, expects a war, and will arm for war, which is probably the right thing to do.
Well, thankfully we've got Putin there, and thankfully we've got Trump, who's appeared in America. We just need someone to appear in Britain now and start speaking up for our interests. Right, well, we've reached the end of the podcast now. Dennis, if you want to let people know where they can find your work just before we sign off.
Okay, well, they can find the Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told, on the website. of the same name, .tv. And they can also find what I consider the follow-up to that, which is Communism by the Backdoor .tv, or come on my YouTube channel of Dennis Wise to watch the parts, which is presently up to part 11. I'll be waiting for you.
Okay, thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next Friday.